गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवर धारे यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरवन चादि जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारे जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारे यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरवन चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस इसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांगा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट 12 अथा कथांचित स्खलन क्षुत पतन झृंबन दुर्वस्थनाश आदिषु विवशनानां नह स्मरणाय ज्वर मरण दशायाम अपि सकल कश्मल निरसनानि तव गुणकृत नामधेयानी वचन गोचरानी भवंतु ट्रांसलेशन इन पर्पोर्ट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जाय डियर लॉर्ड वी मे नॉट बी एबल टू रिमेंबर योर नेम फॉर्म एंड क्वालिटीज ड्यू टू स्टम्बलिंग हंगर फॉलिंग डाउन यॉनिंग और बीइंग इन अ मिजरेबल डिसीज्ड कंडीशन एट द टाइम ऑफ डेथ व्हेन देयर इज अ हाई फीवर We therefore pray unto you, O Lord, for you are very affectionate to your devotees. Please help us remember you and utter your holy names, attributes and activities which can dispel all the reactions of our sinful lives. Purport. The real success in life is Ante Narayana Smriti, remembering the holy name, attributes, activities and form of the Lord at the time of death. Although we may be engaged in the Lord's devotional service in the temple, material conditions are so tough and inevitable that we may forget the Lord at the time of death due to a diseased condition or mental derangement. Therefore, we should pray to the Lord to be able to remember His lotus feet without fail at the time of death, when we are in such a precarious condition. In this regard, one may also see Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 2nd chapter, verses 9 and 10, and 14 through 15, 14 and 15. ओम अज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाया चक्षुर उन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्रीअद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। This is a sobering verse. At the same time, it can give us great encouragement. The reality of it is sobering, and the mercy aspect of it is the encouraging part. The reality of it is that it's very difficult to remember Krishna. And it's even more difficult to remember Krishna when one is in a precarious condition. Although, for the soul, naturally, or for a pure devotee, forgetting Krishna is very difficult. Whatever happens, they don't forget. Like Prahlad Maharaj's situation, yesterday Gokulananda Prabhu was talking. When did Prahlad Maharaj see the Lord? But he saw him always. Because he was remembering him always. And Prabhupada describes, remembering the Lord and seeing the Lord face to face are non-different. Because the Lord is absolute. So Prahlad never forgot. There was no point in time. Even he quoted the pastime of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, since my childhood, I can't think of a moment that I had forgotten Krishna. I always remembered Krishna. And so there are different times when the remembrance of Krishna must be enhanced. But generally, they're giving a list of times when we might even forget even more. It says, while stumbling. Here's the list. Due to hunger. When one is very hungry, one cannot think of Krishna. Falling down. Different ways of falling down. But, Yawning. One cannot remember Krishna while yawning. Or being in a miserable, diseased condition at the time of death when there is high fever. So, generally people utter some phrase or word when something happens. Like if you're hammering a nail into the wall, and if you're not Arvind, then highly likely that you will hammer your finger. What do people say? Don't repeat. They say something. Little word that comes out. That's what I'm saying. So they say, don't say some word. Or they even say Jesus Christ. But it's not that they're remembering Krishna, although that is nice, but they use it in the most inappropriate times. You know, the word Jesus Christ actually has a connotation, in fact. It is, instead of using another curse word, they're using Jesus Christ. Not like because they're devotional and they're remembering Krishna. It's not like that. So the idea is, it's very easy to forget, especially in these conditions. And so one is, the Brahmanas, they're very exalted personalities. They're helping Maharaj Nabhi in this big sacrifice. And they're saying, my dear Lord, very easy to forget you. So we're begging you, we're requesting you, that you please help us remember you. Now this is what is the encouraging part. And I'll come to that, not yet. First, the sobering part. It's nice to be sobered a little bit. Generally, the tendency is to get carried away. By a little performance of bhakti, we get carried away. We get carried away thinking, oh, we're doing very well. that I'm actually advancing in my bhakti. If we wake up early in the morning for a whole month, we take that as an advancement. If we remember certain shloka, we take that as advancement. If we, for a month, perform some austerity of not eating this or something, we think that's advancement. And right around the corner is the biggest downfall waiting. And then we say, oh, I'm such a rascal. We don't mean it, but whatever. And then we start all over again. So we have a false sense of, we generally have a tendency to get carried away. Carried away by the little seeming or semblance of advancement. It's not that we might not be advancing, but the carried away is dangerous when we think that we are advancing on account of our efforts. One is also not advancing necessarily because of bhakti. One is advancing because of Krishna's mercy. And bhakti is the process or the medium through which Krishna's mercy can be directly accessed. But what the moment a person thinks, I'm doing it. By my execution of bhakti, I'm advancing. Then it is called the mode of ignorance. Ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. And what happens is because of that ahankara means I am the doer mentality, one gets vimudha atma. Vimudha means very special kind of fool. Mudha is a general fool. Vimudha is the very special fool. The very special fool is that I am the doer. That is a unique foolishness. And that opens the door for a, downfall again. And our ability to access that mercy vanishes because we consider we are the doers. Which means the antidote for this is to be in a state of, without that mercy, I can be nowhere. And if I'm not fed by that mercy, then I will suffocate, I will die, I will starve. And that's my lifeline. Descending mercy is my lifeline. Thankfully, the easiest way to remember, said in Bhagavatam terms, easiest way to remember is to chant Krishna's name. It's to discuss Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's mercy, Krishna's qualities. Taking our conscious ability for being thoughtful directly to in connection to Krishna. That's the exercise. And that smarana comes from hearing and chanting. Just this morning we were hearing Prabhupada saying, without Shravana and Kirtana, you cannot have Smarana. It's not possible. We will remember what we hear. Whatever we hear. It means is, whatever it is that we are hearing, that is what we will be remembering. And Krishna says, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam. The smarana in that context is where our absorption is. It doesn't mean like at the time of death, suddenly we thought of, I didn't close the door for the bathroom, and boom, we'll be born in the bathroom or something. It's not like that. They're not that kind of remembrance. That smarana is where's the absorption. And our absorption is in what we hear, what we accept. We hear many things, but what we accept. And what we accept is influenced by what conceptions we're already carrying. These conceptions act as filters. They keep all the good messages out and they just filter in exactly what our conceptions are. This is how we make friends, right, in this world. I have an idea that I want to enjoy in this particular manner. 20 people in the room. Oh, I don't like this. I think this is fun. Ah, now we are friends. Because I don't care what others are thinking. My conception matches this person's conception. We are friends. This is called filtering. So in the whole Bhagavatam classes or from the Srimad Bhagavatam, so many messages will be there. But only filtering will happen. Or what we receive is when we are hearing with our filters, oh, that message I don't like. This message I like. Because I'm already doing it. So yes, I like this. That is very difficult for me to do. So I will not accept that. The conceptions form our influence, our receptivity. And based on receptivity is our absorption. And since our childhood, we have been indoctrinated into receiving and accepting certain conceptions again and again and again. And if we didn't accept that, we were told, what are you doing? Don't ruin your life. Look at others. They're doing so. You should also do. So we acquiesce. And we lead a miserable life. Or we buy into the program and we think that's happiness. So this memory, or to remember Krishna, is not easy. Or to say it in the conditioned state, to forget Krishna is very easy, because that's why we're here. So the encouraging part is the brahmanas are praying to Krishna, please help us remember you. Without your help, it's not possible. And Krishna assures us in the Bhagavad Gita that for a person who is my devotee, for such a person, there isn't a fall down. Pranashyati. Name bhakta pranashyati. Kaunteya pratijanihi. You can declare it boldly. So for devotees, we take shelter of such confidence-building words of Krishna. Jai Jagannath Prabhu and I were joking the other day. This should not be the reason for becoming negligent or callous or careless, that Krishna will take care. Krishna takes care in a very particular manner. It's not that he doesn't forget. Krishna doesn't forget even the little service that one may have rendered. He never forgets. And he reciprocates with that. But it doesn't mean that Krishna has no thinking capacity, that he's like this dull doorkeeper that, everyone can go in. It's not like that. According to how we have rendered service, what we have done, accordingly there's a reciprocation. For a person who's tried very sincerely to remember Krishna, to serve, and for some reason cannot remember at the time of death, Krishna says, don't worry, I will come to help you remind you of me. And for others, anywhere between one little service and constantly trying, anywhere in between, Krishna reciprocates accordingly to help us remember him again. And Bhagavatam is full of those situations. When I'm going to say one or two and then we'll leave it for our meditation on other examples like these. When Dhruva Maharaj went out to avenge Uttama's death, he was attacked by 14,000 yakshas. And these yakshas were very well-trained in mysticism. They would suddenly appear from nowhere. They would disappear into the sky. Suddenly the sky became dark, as if night had appeared. And they were throwing arrows from all different directions. He didn't know where they were coming from. And he got into this mood of fighting back. As he described that as soon as he placed his arrow on the bow and pulled the string, all of it vanished. And he got into this angry situation and wanted to get back. And Swayambhuva Manu appeared. Even Kubera appeared and tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Let it go." We discussed this past time. And in that verse, the very specific word is Namadheyam. He meditated on, or he remembered Krishna's holy name. And immediately that illusion vanished and he was told, leave it. So that's how Krishna appears, to remind us. In that sense, that's how he was reminded. In the first canto, Arjuna also forgot. And he describes, when I thought about you again, when I remembered the instructions that you gave, all of that confidence came back. When Prithu Maharaj, he was performing his 100th Ashwamedha Yajna, and Indra was trying to do funny things, stealing the sacrificial horse, etc. Prithu Maharaj became very upset. Lord Brahma came and said, forget it. Just remember the Lord and consider it all done. Okay, forget it. Or in certain other cases, the reminders are there in different ways. Later in this canto is going to be Bharat Maharaj's forgetfulness. Very interesting how he forgot. It's also interesting how Krishna sustained it for him. So this Yoga Kshema Vahamyaham verse is important. That Yoga Kshema, this is what Krishna's side is. Yoga is that he takes care of what is lacking. And Kshema is that he nurtures or sustains what is already there. So our advancement in bhakti is being carried out by Krishna's mercy, Krishna personally, Vahami Aham. And for that Vahami, Krishna is saying, there has to be, the person must be Ananyas Chintayanto Mam. Ananyas, one is cultivating, developing, or already developed, unalloyed bhakti. That one is thinking about Krishna, what is the pleasure of Krishna, what is Krishna's need all the time. Without ananya, without my considerations in it. And at the time of death, memory goes away. Very, very difficult. And here Prabhupada says, we may forget the Lord at the time of death due to a diseased condition or mental derangement. The diseased condition, because the, you know, here's, we've discussed this when we were talking about Puranjana's story and old age. Something about disease is, by definition, we don't recognize or acknowledge a particular part of the body until it is diseased. We don't know. Like, how many of us are aware of, we've talked about the pinky. How many of us are aware every day that we have two pinkies? Fingers, these fingers in our hand. We don't. We go about life without ever noticing. We go about life without noticing or really thinking that we have teeth in our mouth, there is a tongue in the mouth. But a little sore or a wound on the tongue and our whole absorption is right on that little thing. A little cut somewhere, that's where our thought is. Some nail gets hurt. Yesterday I was pulling some drawer and I hurt my nail. Next hour and a half, I was so aware of that nail. So aware of it. Which otherwise, you know, it's not even there. So disease means, because we are in the bodily absorption. Our attention is on the body. And mental derangement. Oh, Krishna, Krishna. Things go awry like anything. There's so many varieties of mental derangements. Pramatta. Some of them are diseases. Identity, situations, imagining things, imagining persons, having conversations with others, or forgetfulness. I think there are degrees of that. I forget them. I don't know the medical terms, but dementia and Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's, they have absolutely, they forget any association of things. Meaning when they look at a key, they don't know that it is supposed to go into a keyhole. They don't even know that it's a key. Hare Krishna. If that situation were to arrive in our lives, what do we do? All of these instructions we'll forget because we can't associate one thing with another. Then all that we have worked for goes away? No. Neha bikramanasyosti. Pratyavayona vidyate svalpam api asya dharmasya trayate mahato bhaya. So the trayate part is that Krishna participates. He makes sure somehow or the other we will remember. For that we must have attracted Krishna's attention sufficiently. Now when I say sufficiently, it seems to quantify. I'm not quantifying it. Meaning, what percent of bhakti must I have performed to cross a threshold before Krishna pays attention to me? That's not what I'm talking about. Qualitatively attracted Krishna's attention. And that's the whole trajectory of the path of bhakti. And Prabhupada says, we may also see Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, Texts 9 and 10. This does not have a purport, but it says, the chanting of the holy name of Lord Vishnu is the best process of atonement for a thief of gold or other valuables, for a drunkard, for one who betrays a friend or relative, for one who kills a brahmana, or for one who indulges in sex with the wife of his guru or another superior. It is also the best method of atonement for one who murders women, the king or his father, or for one who slaughters cows, and for all other sinful men. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons may attract the attention, there you go, may attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who therefore considers, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. Krishna becomes obliged. Even for a person who's listed here, a drunkard, plunderer of gold and valuables, who's had sex with the wife of his guru, who has killed women, who has slaughtered cows, killed a brahmana, if he chants Krishna's name, Krishna says, my duty is to protect him. Hari Bol. Then text 14 and 15. No purport, but definitely this is important. One who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately freed from the reactions of unlimited sins. Even if he chants indirectly, to indicate something else, Prabhupada says, jokingly, Jesus Christ, for musical entertainment, or even neglectfully. This is our japa indicated here. This is accepted by all the learned scholars of the scriptures. Text 15. If one chants the holy name of Hari and then dies because of an accidental misfortune, such as falling from the top of a house, slipping and suffering broken bones while traveling on the road, being bitten by a serpent, being afflicted with pain and high fever, or being injured by a weapon, One is immediately absolved from having to enter hellish life, even though he is sinful. So the purport Prabhupada says, if one practices chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, he is naturally expected to chant Hare Krishna when he meets with some accident. Even without such practice, however, if one somehow or other chants the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, when he meets with an accident and dies, he will be saved from the hellish life after death. This whole chapter is glorifying the potency of chanting of the holy name. Then what to, and again and again as a referent Prabhupada will say, then what to speak of someone who cultivates chanting of the holy name sincerely. When forgetfulness is the default condition, or it's the disease that is affecting or afflicting all the souls in this material realm. So, we are greatly fortunate. And for me, I'm taking this as a nice reminder, sobering reminder, to not be callous or be just like that about it. Take it to me is this, that I have to take it very seriously. That Ante Narayana Smriti, that the goal of life is to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Today one of my godbrothers, his name is Rupa Sanatana Prabhu. He is, most of us know, he is not doing well. So he's leaving Chicago today and traveling to Vrindavan to be part of a hospice there so that he can remember, chant and remember Krishna and leave his body in Vrindavan. So, I mean, it's not easy. It's like a one-way ticket. It's not like a one-way ticket that we usually buy. It's a one-way ticket and there's no returning. And he's preparing for it. And as those of us whose body and mind are still firm, can pray. Pray that somehow that soul makes that journey back. I mean, it's not easy. I've been thinking about it. I mean, for him, given his age, given his situation in life, I mean, condition, deceased condition, to leave a very familiar place, a country, not even just go from state of say, Missouri to Illinois or something, just leave a whole country and go to a completely different place. Yet, it's the Krishna's home. That's the solace. That's the, I guess, the excitement about it, if any, is that it's Krishna's home, where everything is hopefully the reminder for him. I mean, it doesn't have to be Vrindavan. In his case, it's Vrindavan. In our case, if you're fortunate, okay. If not, anything can happen anytime. Yeah, we can leave our body in the bathtub for all we know. Or, you know, anything can happen anytime. At least if someone has the opportunity, the reminder ahead of time, oh, you know, it's like they say, it's the writing on the wall, then that's nice. Parikshit Maharaj had a writing on the wall 7 days. Of course, he took it in a very intense way. That's how Krishna reminds. Yeah. So here's the writing on the wall, Prabhu. Thank you. The reminder we discussed during Puranjana's story, that Jara, old age, comes along with disease, is a reminder. It's a reminder that Krishna has designed to consider what is important in life. Actually, the body, when it transforms, these are reminders. The graying of hair, the falling of teeth, the infirmity in the body. When we were young, we could eat anything, anytime, anywhere, any quantity, and perfectly digest it. We never even thought about it. We never thought, oh, passing stool is so difficult. It just didn't even occur. Little age, one meal you have a little out of track from something, and the whole next 3 days we're suffering from it. And then suddenly we notice, whoa, something's not right here. Because within this system, the way material energy works is reminders, constant reminders. So the acumen of a devotee is, are we getting the reminders? Are we noticing them? And in the association of other devotees, we become acculturated to noticing, acknowledging, and doing something about the different reminders. There's a reminder every day, there's a reminder every moment, in one sense. But there are certain things that happen, events that happen. So the positive way, another way of looking at the tapatrayas, misery due to one's body and mind, misery due to someone else's body and mind, and misery due to higher order difficulties, they're all reminders. They're all reminders of the temporality of the place we are in. They're all reminders of higher purpose of life. And it's up to us to take it or not. Mostly we don't. But the reminders continue. And so these are sobering occurrences for someone who is serious. For someone who's not serious, these reminders are not sobering. In fact, they don't even notice it. So the brahmanas are saying, please help us notice these things. Please help us remember you at the time of death. And it's so easy, we forget you. Even all yawning, we forget you. What to speak of deceased condition. I don't know how, but like sneezing. Apparently, medically, I heard somewhere that when you sneeze, the heart doesn't beat when we're sneezing. For that moment when we're sneezing, the heart just stops and then goes tuk tuk. What if it never... Achoo! Gone. I mean, it's precarious. Anything can happen. I mean, even worse. We may make a conviction. Tomorrow morning, I will get up and I will improve on my bhakti tomorrow morning. That night, we lie down, close our eyes. That's about it. Finished. Anything can happen. This is one of the, we saw, Avelo showed us a video in our Bhakti Vriksha, the debate between the Hare Krishnas and the deprogrammers. And that's what their contention was. You people talk about death all the time. You people make everything sound so horrible. When there's so much to enjoy around this world, you make everything sound so, it's like, this is not good, that's not good, don't look at that, don't touch this, don't eat that. My gosh, you make people live with fear. And Hridayananda Maharaj's response was, everything is designed to tell us about the temporality of this world. It's those who have their consciousness fixed in the eternal, they're not disturbed by these things. So he's telling her, your consciousness is not there. It's not disturbing. Otherwise it can be. Okay. So please add, because this is a very interesting section of there was a verse about how he says Ashraya first, he has his hand. Yes, Ashraya Prabhu.
A lot of nice things, like how can we remember while we're sneezing or sleeping and that kind of stuff, you know. We could discuss it for some time.
Rasoham apsakaunteya prabhasmi sachi suryo.
What does he say?
Krishna says, Prabhupada says, when you drink water, you think of Krishna is the taste of water. Prabhupada even talks the word, listening on the altar that day, that some people like to drink alcohol. And Prabhupada says, even Krishna is the taste of that alcohol. If they remember him while they're drinking alcohol, they will become Krishna conscious. I like that one. Go ahead.
Yeah. there's a lot of nice things, but I don't just
remember one or two things.
A couple. So.
Yeah.
One thing you were talking, you mentioned this point that because we don't even notice the bodily areas until our absorption or our consciousness gets absorbed there due to some disturbance that's in that particular part. So it goes along with your last point. I was just appreciating how, like Srila Prabhupada especially,
right.
Disturbs us by his speech like that, so that our consciousness gets, like these people were saying, the devotees make you, oh, I can't enjoy this, I can't, thinking constantly about that because the speech is so, like, cutting away that conception of these things being nice, then your absorption changes from matter to spirit, or at least you get pushed in that direction, pulled in that direction because their association and their instruction is so powerful like that. So then they change our absorption, or help us to change our absorption like that. And then another thing was that you were mentioning how we can't hear because of our filters. And not too long ago, in one of the classes, we were talking about how Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses this point, that the prejudices that we have are coming from so many lifetimes of, experiences and whatever, all that stuff. And then he suggests, that the way to overcome these things is by association of Vaishnava, to clear that away. So in that way also, by giving us the opportunity to know about them and to associate with their character, we can most quickly come to the point of actually being able to hear the message without that prejudice and filter. So those are just a couple of things.
One verse that that's been a recent, inspiration is 7:15:45. We were talking about this, where he talks. This is Narada Muni speaking with Yudhishthira Maharaj. He's saying, when to or how to leave the body. And even the Sanskrit is beautiful. English is really nice. As long as one has to accept a material body with its different parts and paraphernalia, which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of his superiors, namely his spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. By their mercy, one can sharpen the sword of knowledge. And with the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy, one must then conquer the enemies mentioned above. In this way, the devotee should be able to merge into his own transcendental bliss, and then he may give up his body and resume his spiritual identity. So here it says, Jnanasim Achyutabala Dadhat. Holding on to that sword. Jnanasim means the sword of knowledge. Achyuta Bala. In this purport, Prabhupada talks about Achyuta Bala again and again. It's beautifully that it's Lord Nityananda's help. Without Gaura Nitya's help, we cannot do it. Nayam Balahine Nalabhya. The one cannot understand Nayam Atma. One cannot understand this soul, this Atma, Balahina, without Lord Balaram's help. So Prabhupada says one should take the knowledge given by Krishna. So this Krishna gives us the sword, Balaram gives us the strength to hold that sword and do something with it. And cut through those things that make us forget Krishna. Okay, anyone else? Something else? Okay, Jai Jagannath Prabhu. Okay. Right.
So that seems wrong. And at the same time, if you don't pursue them, but they're totally, your heart is totally infested with some desires, and how can you run from the Tibra?
Right.
By which you can attract the attention of the Lord.
Dhruva Maharaj is the example for Sarvakama. So he was taking on this severe austerity of not eating anything. Not even breathe, he was breathing once in 15 days. 15 days later, he took a breath like that because he wanted a kingdom greater than Lord Brahma's. So, in that sense, it was tivra, very intense. The correcting factor in that is Narada Muni. That means one's heart may be infested with all sorts of things. Without the presence of a devotee of that caliber, without the presence of a devotee, speaking generally, one's bhakti cannot be tivra, even if it is for some other purpose. And with the presence of the devotee, even that tivra execution may be for a different purpose. But because it is done according to the instruction of the devotee, Krishna is pleased with that, and this purification of the heart. Narada told him, you want a kingdom? Yes, Vishnu can give you. This is what you do. Yes, I got the formula for getting this kingdom. But when Lord Vishnu appeared, they said, Swamin Kritarthosmi, Varam Nayache. So that's the intervening or the saving grace, quite literally, saving grace. It's the presence of the disciplic succession. And so like that, our hearts are infested with, oh, what conceptions. In fact, I was thinking as a nice exercise, maybe at the breakfast table or some gathering, discuss what are the different sources of misconceptions that we can get to. We can come up with a long list, the sources of misconceptions. And if we continue, on one hand, sadhana bhakti, on the other hand, forcibly, wantingly, intentionally pursuing sense gratification, then it's not that we will get Krishna prema from it. We may get something else, another opportunity. Like Ajamila, Ajamila, whatever he did, it's not like when he said Narayana and called his son, Vaikuntha plane came for him. He got a chance, he got an opportunity. So we're unfortunate in the morning or during the day or sometimes. We create all our opportunities and by the end of the day we destroy all of them. And we start back at, you know, ground zero. We start again, we destroy them, meaning Hare Krishna, whatever, we have some little speck of sincerity, and then during the day we destroy it completely. So we work counter to our own goodwill, if you will. But Krishna sees, because that's our struggle. Krishna sees. It's Krishna seeing what we are up to. They're helping. Helping as the case may be. So there is hope. There is still hope. One thing is Krishna never abandons. So there is always hope. It's just as to when we cash in that check. Krishna has given us a check. Come home back to Godhead. Now we can carry that check in our pocket and wait for many years before we cash it in. Some people cash it in quickly. Some people don't. So we have the cash, the names written on our names written on the cash, the values written, signed by Krishna. Everything's there. It's a matter of when we cash our check in. Yeah, yeah. There's a sense of confidence that.
And but oftentimes I just feel like, and the reason this is the third aspect of my question is because we hear the science of bhakti described.
You know how it develops, and you hear about these very exalted stages of consciousness, and then you look at your own consciousness, and you look at the exalted state of consciousness, and it's like, phew, a huge gap. And oftentimes we hear like the mercy point. And it makes it seem like the necessity to actually complete the course of pure devotional training in our consciousness is less important as long as you get mercy, you know. But then I often get concerned that, well, why would they delineate all these details if it wasn't important for us to consider in the development of our devotional service?
Yeah, we shouldn't think that mercy means some magical, mystical thing,
right?
That,
right.
Hey, this is Goloka Vrindavan. The mercy is that it makes us mature through the process of bhakti. That's the mercy.
So then with that, I also have that understanding. So then I get oftentimes quite concerned just looking at my own consciousness. And I don't feel like totally hopeless, like I won't ever become God conscious or go back home back to Godhead. But I often wonder to myself, I wonder how many lifetimes it might take me.
Correct.
When I'm looking at my own consciousness. Like, I feel like the check is there. I feel like I got a lot of mercy with really great personalities, and the check is there. But it's like, with so many desires and so on, how many lifetimes is it going to take me to actually catch the check?
In the context of this verse, we can see mercy in this way. The Krishna is giving us a sense of valuing, a value to what we are receiving. It's a value. And he's helping us. Really? You want to lose it? Really? Do you know what I'm giving you? It's a value. Because it's the English language is, do not throw pearls before swine, because the pig will look at it, grunt or make some noise and search for stool, right? But how does a pig, I'm talking about us, not anyone, how does a pig understand these are pearls? So valuable. So these things are, especially in the context of this, because I've been similar, not exactly like that, but similar. How do you know? But Krishna reminds us, really, if you're going to do this, look at all that they're going to throw away. Do you want to do that? Yes. One more time, Krishna. This one time, and then I will. Are you sure? Yeah, this one time only. Or in the lives of others. However, you know, pratyaksha, anumana, shabda, all are for understanding the value. So in that verse that Dravida Prabhu quotes, or the devotees have sang here, I think Premananda Mataji sang, Vichintyani, Vicheyani, Vicharyani, something punah punaha, Kripanasya Dhananiva. Rupa Goswami says, like a miser who keeps counting his wealth. He thinks about his wealth all the time. He looks at it again and again. He counts it again and again. Again and again. Like that, me too. Let me consider the value of the holy name. So and the miser is scared. What if I lose? What if I lose? So he's alert all the time. So these are different ways of Krishna's mercy acting to give us a sense of value for what we have received. We receive it, in one sense, we have received bhakti very easily. Like we haven't really done too much tapasya to receive bhakti. The tapasya has been done by the guru to give us bhakti. So please take. No, please take. He has prayed more than we have in one sense. Or like the children. So easily. Then the sense of value to it is like what I'm carrying is something extraordinarily valuable. But Krishna gives us different ways of assessing value of it. When someone has to assess the value of a property, they look at different things. So like that, we have to assess the value of the property we are made rightful owners of. And that has come about. Inheritance, dayabhak. Usually inherited property is not valued so much. Meaning, I got it, I haven't done anything for it. Is that... Yeah, Karunanidhi Prabhu and then back to Glenn. However, anything on this side?
Hare Krishna. And here again question is coming. Krishna says, Mata Smritir Jnanam Apanancha. From me, memory and forgetfulness, both is coming. So then what we can do? And you know what do you mean say? And he is also sometimes he is purna param purna chate, means that means he is full in every respect. He doesn't lack anything. So in the sense that we have to give to Krishna, just bhakti.
Yeah. Nice point. You want to add something else?
No,
okay, thank you.
One thing my teachers taught me over and over again was, work as if everything depends on you. Work as if everything depends on you, and pray as if everything depends on God, because it does.
Apparently I learned that this is Saint Ignatius who said like that. We went to Loyola and I said something and said, oh, Saint Ignatius. And they were very happy because the Jesuits are all followers of Saint Ignatius, I believe. And we became friends like that. This way, you know, it's like someone would come from the outside and say, you know, Srila Prabhupada said like that. And say, oh, yeah, yeah. I did not know it was Saint Ignatius, so I learned. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.